like to share a verse from a song this morning that has some deep spiritual meaning to each one of us that have a heart. One that we sing often, "Show me thy face, one transient gleam of loveliness divine, and I shall never think or dream of other love save thine. No lesser light will darken quite, no lower glories wane. The beautiful of earth will scarce seem beautiful again." The need for each one of us to have that glimpse of Christ. Beloved, I could say that we are in serious times, but any time that we deal with God is serious. There's not a place of joking about it. Our rejoicing is in Christ, but it's only as we abide in Him, only as we find real meaning in this relationship. And so this morning I would like to speak to each one of us out of His Word, that God can speak to us. We are dealing with God, so it's serious. God's love, as He reaches out, to each one of us, it's in fullness. As I've said often, and I repeat myself this morning, that the God that we serve so often is a God that we have created in our minds. And so we feel that we can come and go. We can sit to eat and rise to play. But again, I bring us back to the Christ of Calvary. We want to see the seriousness of our state before we came to Him, and to see the goal that lies before us. We can only humble ourselves and move on in the truth that God has for us. I would like for us to turn again to a scripture that we have heard time and time again, but trusting that the Lord will speak to us this morning out of it. It's found in 2 Peter in the first chapter. Beginning to read at the 5th verse. And then I want to come back up and repeat the 4th verse for us, but reading the 5th verse. "Yea, for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, godliness." Then reading the 4th verse, "whereby He has granted unto us His precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust." Again, I would like to draw our attention, and I know God is speaking to our hearts, on the area of virtue, moral excellence. This is what He's talking about. That which gives you worth, that which sets you aside in this ungodly world that we live in. Virtue. The first thing that's mentioned by the Apostle Peter that you add in your walk of faith is moral excellence. I bring this out, brethren, because in our midst we have those that are questioning, those that are murmuring, Those that feel that they can go back and touch the world and not be affected. God wants a witness. The reason that we question, the vision has grown dim. The reason that we question, there is no response in our heart to a loving God. And the same loving God that reaches His hand down to us is the same God that puts His finger upon us when we start to stray away. When we start to flirt and have relationship with the world, when we allow the standard of God that we have reached to, that standard that we have attained to, that God wants us to hold fast to, when it starts to slip away and we start to look for convenience rather than look to the glory that lies before us. There can be no other working, because in this moral excellence, you're going to add knowledge. Many of us have a head knowledge this morning. We have a knowledge of what we want to do, how we want to serve God, and the limits that we will go. But again, I say to us that when we do business with God in this love relationship, it's on God's terms. It's not on our terms. So often we come on our terms, what we will do. It shows in our relationship. Our relationship first with God. And then for us to be so blinded that we feel that we can deceive others. See, a relationship with God means that I am in fellowship with God. Now, I'm not talking about in any degree where you're at in maturity. Because I'll take the youngest one that has just responded to the Lord, that's moving on. You never see him looking back. He's always looking towards the goal, even in infancy. But see, when the vision grows dim, then we start to murmur and complain. Everything is hard. We can always find fault, and we can always blame somebody else. Do you find it true? From the very beginning, it's been that way. When God puts His finger of love on us, and I say that because God does not change. When that finger touches us, and we do not have a heart to move on in God, we're going to point our finger at somebody else. We're going to complain about this, and we're going to say, you know, you're too hard. But tell me, brothers and sisters, this morning, the one that's in love with Him, show me anything that's too hard. The brethren here in the midst have a deep concern for many of your souls. You do not have the strength to stand. You do not have the strength to stand. Do you think we should be concerned? Do you think God is concerned? Not the smallest test. You cannot stand, because there has been no moral fibers worked in your life through obedience. And that's because that you have failed to move in a relationship with God. Because in faith, God is going to add. And He wants you to give all diligence that in your faith, in your walk of faith. So when moral excellence is not being built into your life, it tells one thing. There is no walk of faith. And I'm not just drawing conclusions, brethren. I think each one of you realize this. There's one thing that we cannot fool, and that's God. And when we get by ourselves, the emptiness within us, we cannot throw off. This is a reality. The babe and the mature that is drinking, that is enjoying God, even though we may be going through difficult times, even though we may be going through times of testings, there may even be questionings in our hearts. But brethren, our lives are set on a course. I'm not talking to you this morning. I'm talking to the ones of you that this morning continue to go along, murmur, complain, even to the place some of you cause division because you have no revelation, because you have no relationship, dissatisfied, murmuring, complaining. They murmured in the Old Testament and they murmured in the New Testament. Murmuring is a work of the flesh. When you murmur, it's because you're not satisfied with God. If you're satisfied with God, you never are dissatisfied with anybody else because you know God is working. He is the one that you must please. But then to go on to add this moral excellence to our lives, to see our worth. You've heard this many times. Add to your faith moral excellence, virtue. Have you taken it to heart? Have you moved out in obedience? Because time and time again, week after week, brother, we go. And what I'm about to say, I don't base your spirituality on it. But because you are spiritual, you will do it. Some of us, we never open our Bibles. Week after week, we never find time to commune with God. Week after week. It's a chore for us to find a time of prayer. When we do, it's only a few words that are offered up. And I doubt this morning whether it goes above your heads. And I say that to your shame, because God is reaching to you this morning. You cannot continue to go on. It's your soul. You cannot stand the test when the test comes. And if there's nothing been built in you, the first breath that comes of compromise, you're quick to respond. There's nothing there. There's nothing that will allow you to stand on God's side and stand as a testimony and as a witness for God. You say, is God concerned? Brethren, I cannot pass by the book of Revelations in the first three chapters and see that God is not concerned with our testimony. Because God is in the midst of the candlesticks, beloved. He walks in our midst. Oh, you say, well, I do not see him. I do not feel him. That's where many have erred also. Because they do not feel something in their emotions, they feel that God is not here. Many are looking for this and looking for that. From time to time, there are those that look for miracles. He is the miracle, brother. The trouble is our own hearts. The trouble is our own relationship. We're looking for something that God can give us rather than finding Him. He is my healing. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my fullness. But see, when we get our eyes off of Jesus and off of the goal, when we're looking for that excitement, and it wears off very fast. See, beloved, I'm not talking from theory. I'm talking from experience. I came along that road. I'm sure God allowed me to come along that road so I could help somebody else along the road. You don't find it there. You find it in Jesus. You don't find it in looking for this or looking for that. You find it in searching for Him with your whole heart. Nothing else will work. Each one of you know as you come in our small Wednesday night gathering, sharing one with another, you have found, I am sure, that you've almost come to the end of it, haven't you? Unless God intervenes. No, that's not the question. God's already intervened. The question is, do you want to respond? You've come to the end of it unless you respond. Unless you allow God to work something in your lives to where there can be a flowing out from the innermost being. He said, those that drink of this water that I will give, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Brethren, why can't we have our eyes open to see our state?
to see that we compromise when the first little test comes along. We're quick to compromise. We cannot stand because we do not know His power. We do not have power to stand the test.
You may say, I can stand, I'll never deny Him. Peter said the same thing. And only by the grace of God any of us will stand. But it's the grace that teaches us. It's the grace that leads us on. It's the grace that establishes us. It's the grace that instructs us. This doesn't come to a place, and all of a sudden one day you say, well, the grace of God will keep me, and you've never allowed that response of your heart to find meaning in this walk day by day. You've just kind of coasted along. Some of you have been hot at certain times, but you've allowed yourself to drift back for many different reasons. And I don't want to go into all of the reasons this morning. You know where you live, each one of you. Those of you that are going on, you know where you're going on. I can't hurt the healthy, but I can help the sickly. Those of you that are healthy, that are in touch with God this morning, you too feel the burden of what God is trying to say to us. And it's not just one. If it were one, we would go and take them up into our arms and speak with them. But brethren, there's more than one. And the church is responsible for what is going on in its midst. Again, I point you to the book of Revelation, the first three chapters, where the messengers that came from the face of God to speak the words of God, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As the messenger came, he was speaking to the church. And you see that the church is responsible, brethren. Responsible first for the witness. Responsible for judgment. When we look at judgment, that's when things start to be fearful. But brethren, that's the love of God that comes to our heart that will not allow us to stay in that place of indifference. For reasons known only to you and God, some of you fail to take that step of faith that you need to take into God, into knowing Him, into a union to where you can walk with Him, knowing Him, experiencing Him. And out of this shall come that testimony that is separated from the world. Why are we so blind? Different ones of you sitting right here this morning. Why are you so blind that you cannot see that every test that comes your way, you fail? Because you're not willing to stand, because there's no moral fiber built in your life. And yet God wants to build that moral fiber down in each one of your hearts to where when the test does come, we can stand as a testimony. Listen to the messenger. Unless you repent, I will come and remove your candlestick. No longer can you be a witness to me. Now, you can go into any other thinking about it that you want to this morning, but I'm concerned with the witness of the overall gathering to the love, the grace, and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that those of you that have spiritual perception this morning are also concerned about that testimony. God is concerned with that testimony, and He will not allow us to go on without speaking to our hearts. And He expects you to do something. Another place He said, come and repent, or else I will come and fight with that two-edged sword. In other words, He's going to come with the two-edged sword to speak to the hearts of those that are going their own way. Let's look back to Peter here for just a minute. Because there's areas here as we go on when you move from knowledge, and in that knowledge, in the working of knowledge, it says you are to add self-control. Self-control. What does that mean?
That means that the expression that we are giving is underneath the Holy Spirit, underneath His control. That's self-control. Now, you cannot control yourself outside of God. Don't think you can. As good as you may ever attain to, as far as the expression, it always falls short. Because it's always self. Self-control comes underneath the control of the Spirit. And then there's a testimony that comes forth of God. Self-control is a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But as we move from that moral excellence to knowledge, experimental knowledge, we move on to a place of self-control. Many of us try to discipline ourselves. Many of us make resolutions, don't we? I'm going to do better. Let me show you how simple it is, brother. God's looking for one thing, and this is simplicity in Christ that remains at all times. You've heard it recently, and I repeat it again. God only wants you to take the next step of the light that has been revealed to your pathway. The next step, whether it's repentance or whether it's obedience. And unless you start to obey, unless there is a repentance, a turning, and when I say that, I'm not saying this morning, well, he caught me, he found me out. Brother, and I could care less about finding you out this morning in that way. If God can find you out, God can reach down into the depths of your soul to the place and you can see his goodness that will reach down and pick you up and turn you around to face him. He has done his work. And brother, we'll move on together. As I said, when we deal with God, it's serious. It's not just one message. It's not just words. It's dealing with Him. Because when we deal with His Word, we deal with Him. Now, beloved, don't think that it's impossible for us one soul this morning to miss God. It's not possible, yet it is possible if you turn your heart away. But as far as the provisions of God, everything is possible. You don't like your attitude of heart. Are you ready to repent? Really repent. If you don't like the place of lethargy that you find yourself in, are you ready to arise and repent? If you have found yourself compromising along the way, if you found yourself murmuring, complaining, might I even go so far this morning to some of you of causing division, sowing doubt, not only with words, but with your testimony, with the way that you're going, sowing doubt. God's mercy finds you out this morning. Will you repent? Because when you find yourself in this place, you're not fooling anybody. There's no relationship. You're dissatisfied. You've been disobedient. Somewhere along the line, the same as Adam in the garden, when he was disobedient to God, he willfully sinned. He willfully sinned. And then when God came and spoke to him, what did he do? He turned around to blame somebody else. But let me repeat again what I've said so often. There's not a one of you sitting here that when you stand before God, that you'll appoint an accusing finger at anybody else. You'll give an answer for what God's love has reached your heart and you have refused. You'll never make an excuse. You'll never say, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they stood in my way. Oh yes, there may be some that stood in the way and they will answer to God for that. But you will never give that excuse because his love has been shed abroad in all his fullness. Every provision has been made. Then to go on as you see the working of God and you see from self-control into patience and patience into godliness. What does it mean, godliness? Is that possible in this time that we're living? Only possible to those that will believe. I'm not here to speak to you one way or another about the theology of it, because only through acts of obedience and the leading of the Spirit of God can bring you to a place of godliness, and there's no argument about it. There's no sitting back and saying, well, I can't or I can. That's not the question. The question is, will you obey? Do you want to stand out for God? The pressure's here. The pressure of the world. We've heard ministry lately about the nature of the world, the subtlety of the world, the subtlety of sin. Did you take it serious? Some of you have not taken it serious. You've gone right back in and you've encountered it and you have compromised. Just that easy. No power to stand. I would call us to a place again. Those of you that have no power in your life, a place of repentance. And then, out of a place of repentance, a place of obedience. Let's look at another scripture here this morning. I think it's important to look at it. It's found in 2 Timothy. You may feel that it doesn't pertain to us, that it may pertain to the world out there and the sinners going their way, but I find that when we come in and there's no relationship with God, we haven't entered into it. We only have a form of godliness. Oh, yes, we can. All of us can mouth the words, yes, Jesus Christ died for my sins. That doesn't do it, does it? Every one of you can testify to that. That doesn't do it. It takes the Spirit of God making that Word alive within our very souls. It takes the Spirit of God making us one in the body to realize that we are part of an organism that has divine power working in it. And we're not satisfied with anything except Jesus. That's all. And when I say that, I'm talking about His fullness. You don't need anything this morning. You may think so, and you may not understand the terminology. But when you go on to take acts of obedience, you'll find that Jesus Christ has every answer. The answer lies in Him. But in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, speaking to this young minister, telling about the last times, and beloved, we are in the last times. You're only blind if you look around us and you do not see that we're in the last times. It says, in the last times it shall be running to and fro, eating, giving in marriage, all of these other things. We're in the last time, brother. Everybody's running to and fro. When it comes time for God, the majority of us here do not have time for God. We work God into our tight schedule. This start from another vantage point. This work, what we have to do as far as this world is concerned, our jobs, our responsibilities, this work them in after we have a relationship with God. I don't think that that is getting anybody to come to a place of compromise in any place. Get your relationship right with God. Come to that place to where we know God, we're moving with Him. We know the sweet fellowship because we are starting to enjoy that fellowship as we walk together in the light as He Himself is in the light. That's how you can tell. But in this passage here it says, in these last times, grievous times shall come. And it creeps. You say, where? Right into the expression of what God's doing. And that's why in the book of Revelations, the angel of the Lord comes and says, you're not fooling anybody. I know what you're doing good. I know some of you have a little, but strengthen what you got. And the Lord's still saying that this morning. Those of you that have a little, strengthen what you got. But He also picks out those things that He hates and puts His finger on it. He finds us out, all of us. And He speaks right to us, and we all are responsible for it. The church is responsible for it. And so we need not only to repent and obey, we need to exhort one another. We need to take each other, if I might show it in a physical way, by the hand, by the arm, and just lift the ones up. To strengthen the arms that hang down. If that's what is needed after repentance. No sense in strengthening one that does not have a heart for God. One that does not see the direction. One that does not want to move on. One that does not want to stand with God. I'm reminded of Abraham as God spoke to him and he says, I know Abraham. Does God know you this morning? To your shame? Does God know you? You know what he said about him? I know Abraham. He will command his children. Then he went on to say, can we hide anything from Abraham? Nope. No, I'm going to reveal it to him. And then we start to see Abraham entering into that ministry of intercession, which I believe brought Lot out of Sodom. And he didn't walk out, they carried him out. Souls that are vexed. There may be a few of you sitting here this morning that are vexed. But most are just pure rebellious. Not satisfied with God because there's no relationship with God. So there's all kind of things that are happening in your life and in the lives of those around about you. When you're dissatisfied, others become dissatisfied. When you mouth your dissatisfaction, others are listening and they become dissatisfied. They get in on your dissatisfaction. That's not edification. That's not building up the body of Christ. Our word should be seasoned with salt, not only to the world but to each other, moving in the grace of God. Listen to these words. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, slanders, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof, from these also turn away. That's quite a list of things. In verse 8, it tells us there, they resisted the truth. Why? They had corrupt minds. As we read on down in this particular passage, you see that they desired, some desired to live godly. And I believe those of you that desire to live in union with God will find that He has made every provision. But those of you that continue to move on to more ungodliness, because as we move with dissatisfaction, as we move with murmuring, complaining, it brings the judgment of God. If you do not believe that, then I point you to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where he set out some examples of the Old Testament for us that we can learn by them. And they're very pointed. Some of you would say we're not in the Old Testament. Would you agree with me this morning that the demands of the new are greater than the old? Would you also agree with me that the promises of the new are greater than the old? And would you also agree with me that the God that we serve this morning is the same God in the old that's in the new? That He has not changed? That He does not change and will not change? Our thinking changes through different ways. Sometimes by our association it changes. We're like the wind, tossed to and fro. We change from one thinking to another thinking just by talking to someone. Then we're searching, we're reading, And we read something and somebody has something that sounds good. And we pick that up and we run with it all the time. We're there causing division because we're dissatisfied. Dissatisfaction breeds bitterness because we don't feel anybody loves us. Nobody's concerned with us. God is. God is concerned with every one of us this morning. But the way is narrow. It's a straight way. And we're not going to come our way. And we might as well realize that. If we haven't realized it before, not now. Some of us fight at that. We're going to serve God our way. Many have gone off as wandering stars, clouds without rain, floating out there in the wild blue yonder. Many have done that because they do not want to submit to Christ and find their place in the body of Christ, submitting one to another with positive input. You have a place, brethren, this morning of positive input. Don't look at the failures this morning of each other. Just look to the glories and victories of Christ. We have no place to complain. I cannot complain this morning. I may be concerned for your soul, but I cannot complain about what Jesus Christ is doing. Even in speaking to your hearts this morning, I cannot complain. It's not too hard. But if you continue on, and I bring it back to the basis of no relationship with God. I'm not talking about your little pet prayer time or your little special time or your habit of devotion. I'm talking about a relationship with God. If you don't have that, all of these other things will enter in sooner or later. It takes a relationship with God. And that doesn't mean you have to be some spiritual giant. This morning it means that you must be as a child, responding to a loving Father, one that loves you. You don't have to fear God because perfect love casts out all fear. It's only the ungodly that have to fear. It's only those that are causing division, those that are murmuring. You have something to fear, beloved. You have something to fear. Those of you that cause division, you have something to fear. Those of you that want to move on in God, there's no fear. We don't have to fear God. We have to reverence Him. And that's the trouble with the ones that I just read about. There's no fear. There's no reverence of God. And thus they're not moving on into this place that we're talking about this morning, to where our lives have meaning as far as the witness of God, the reality of God. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Has God changed? All of us would say, no, God has not changed. It's only our definition of what that means. Is that true? What does it really mean? I don't have power to do this. The reason some of you don't have power to witness, you have not taken the power that's been afforded to you to take the step of obedience in your life, to do His will, to commune with Him. Show me one person that goes to his closet and meets God, that comes out of that prayer closet, that does not have the power to do what God is revealing to them. Show me one person. You can't show me one person. Because, see, God is God. And God's not working separate from us. He's working in us. And He continues to bid in His love and working for everything that we are. Beloved, the place that you need to start out this morning is this. No decision. No decision. Listen, no decision outside of consulting and communing with God about that decision. Bring God into every decision of your life. How can you move in God unless He is the one that's deciding your way? And so how can you make a decision and leave God out? How can you go on week after week and leave God out of your life and think that everything's all right? You're deceived, beloved. Deceived. Oh, we can hear good messages on priorities. But see, the word priority fades into the night, if I might put it that way, when the love of God reaches your heart. Priorities, why talk about priorities when you're in love with Jesus? It's only when that love grows cold that we have to talk about priorities. Come on, consider your priorities. You don't have to talk about those things. Sometimes these words become very difficult to continue to speak because we know they're falling on deaf ears. Because the love of God has moved away from our hearts. But God is here. God is here to speak to our lives, to bring us to that place that we need to come to encourage those that are going on, and to meet with those that need Him, that need to repent. There's many areas this morning that I could bring up, practical areas, expressions in your lives. But I feel the Lord would choose to leave those in His hands to apply. I'm saying, and you understand me, God wants moral excellence in our expression, in your expression. You're not separate from the body of Christ. That means in every area of our lives. If I might use certain scriptures pertaining that are spoken about certain ones or sexes, I might use it for all of us. We all need to learn what it means to have a quiet and meek spirit. Because you need to get quiet in your spirit. But it needs to be quiet at all times. It needs to be meek. It needs to be utter dependent upon God. And out of that place, you will clothe yourself with the humility of Christ. And that humility comes only through obedience. He learned what? Obedience to the things that He suffered. He humbled Himself. And that's where we're going to learn ours. If we're looking for it some other way, we cannot find it. But a place of looking to Him.